This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. And you know, there's an awful lot of things in the world these days, like war and political struggle, that you might get discouraged about. But every once in a while, you see something really great example set by your neighbors. And we've got a really neat example of that in what was the Pioneer Craft Co-op that started back in 1972. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary. They're now known as the Northwoods Pioneer Gallery and Gifts. They're on Highway 61 in Castle Danger. They're about to formally celebrate. They've already passed their 50-year mark, I think, on Memorial Day. They're going to be celebrating from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. this Saturday, June 18th. And I've got one of the folks that's been involved for a very long time. I've got Roger Francine on the line with me. Welcome to the show, Roger.
Okay, thank you much.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to talk with you, and I know that you have some really rich reflections on things that have happened over the years. You weren't there when they first turned on the lights, Roger, but you've been
No, I wasn't there.
But no. You've been involved for 40 years, about, do you think?
Yeah. I've been with them that long. I didn't figure I'd stay in this long, I guess, but here I am.
Well, and why not? You know, if you're still enjoying it, I'd say why not?
Yeah. We're just getting older. I'm getting 80 now, so I'm slowing down a little. I'm not making quite as much as I used to. You know, then I used to do two shops and outdoor shows plus Pioneer Crafts. So I was pretty busy with this for a while.
Wow. Is there any particular thing that prompted you to check out what it would be like to sell your stuff and be a member of that co-op? Did you already have a woodworking passion going on? We'll tell people more about what you make, but how did you first get involved at Pioneer? Did you have somebody say, well, hey, you should go sell your stuff with them? Or
I started different places. I would go on consignment, bring stuff in at different shops and stuff.
Okay.
Consignments, you know, you bring an item in and they'll pay you for it if they sell it.
If it sells,
or
yeah.
When they sell it. Yeah. So that's why I started. And then I quit a lot of them and I just went to Pioneer. And then, I was doing outdoor shows. And we have this Heritage Days, as you know, coming up.
Yeah.
So we did that, and so it's been a pretty good ride, I guess. I can't complain. Had a lot of fun with it.
It is what you do is woodworking, but you have kind of a few specialties, specific products that people would be most likely to have run into if they shopped at Pioneer. And are you still making the same things?
Well, what are some of those things? Especially on my jewelry boxes.
Okay.
I sold between 1,600 and 1,700 of them. And virtually
wow.
All over the states and overseas and everything. So it's something I come up with years ago. I don't know how, but it's worked out real well. In fact, I'm just bringing some more down tomorrow to the shop. And let's see, I've done so much that I forget all the stuff I used to make. Because things will go and then they won't go.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. Whether you had to go with the trends or whatever. It's sometimes maybe hard to read what's going to sell.
Yeah. But like some of my stuff has just stayed, you know, good. You know, I do Lazy Susans. I make a lot of them.
Okay.
They seem to go all the time. I post for presents and stuff. But you got to be pretty well set up to do all this stuff. That's what a lot of young people. I'm the only one left there, the woodworker. It's kind of sad, you know. Nobody else is coming in.
Oh, at Pioneer right now, you're the last remaining woodworker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody. Well, it costs a lot of money to get started, I guess. You know.
Yeah. And you mean in terms of not just knowing what you're doing, but having the equipment to do it?
Equipment to do it. And then I suppose where I used to buy all my lumber from sawmills and air dry my own lumber. I said, you know, I didn't go so kiln dried, which you buy at a lumber yard because it's too hard.
Right.
You know, and I deal all in hardwoods. So.
And were you able?
I knew where every sawmill was within the last 300 miles of Two Harbors. So.
There was one of my questions was whether you could find everything real close by, but obviously you were driving ways, it sounds like.
Yeah, I go all over because we had a cabin down in McGregor. My wife inherited her dad's for a while there, and there was a lot of hardwoods down in that country, so I had more fun chasing lumber than fishing down there. So.
it's been
a fun experience. You know, I wish somebody else young person would get in, but I understand it's, you know, costly to do it. Maybe they don't care to do this, so, you know. I don't know what to say.
Well, perhaps just hearing about the legacy of Pioneer will maybe inspire somebody to check it out and learn a little bit more about it. But you are right. Times have changed, and there probably are still a lot of people involved. I understand there are over 50 people still involved as craft
makers.
One time
when we first moved out there, where we're at now, we had 170.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. And where you got started, of course, was at a different location, right? You were on the Two Harbors side of
Cliff.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was a very good location because you couldn't go around the cliff very fast.
Yes.
So that helped, see. But then when the road switched up above there, that was pretty much the end of us down there. You know, we were just going to, if we stayed there, we were just going to go broke.
Yeah, and Roger, for the folks that are a little younger or have moved to Two Harbors area in the last 20 years, you may not realize that once the cliff route was put in to the tunnel, it put you guys well far back off the road, right? I mean, the visibility changed overnight. It took a long time to build, but it wasn't good for business. You were on the board as well, though, right? You were part of making these decisions, the tough decisions to what to do with the business.
Yeah, somewhere over 20 years I spent on the board of Pioneer, on and off over the years. So I did a lot of maintenance. I painted the whole building, Altar and Castle of Danger. I used to do all the grass cutting, and I'm not doing that anymore, but...
Now, didn't you tell me that the old building required a little bit of tender love and care?
We didn't have water, you know, in the winter.
Oh,
they were heated with wood.
Okay. No, I didn't know that you didn't have water. Okay,
No, we didn't. We just had it when it was warm enough.
Okay.
When it got cold, I drained it.
Yep.
Drained the building, and we heated with wood. So it was three of us that used to, this fellow just down the road here, he made picture frames. His name was Melvin Moe. And he was, people would come and buy 40 or 50 at a time from him. It was really something.
Wow.
These pictures, he teared down old barn.
In the winter, you were going without water there?
Yeah. And we had to shovel. It was a flat roof, so we had to shovel the roof off or it would leak. In fact, the guy, it was a motel right down from us, and he bought it. He bought the building and tore it down. It wasn't feasible to save anymore. We were just lucky we could get rid of it, I guess.
Yeah, but you got good years out of it.
It worked. It worked. That's what, you know, there weren't many available when they were looking to start the co-op, you know.
Yeah. I'm speaking today with Roger Francine. You're from Silver Creek right now, right, Roger? That's where you guys make your homestead?
Yeah.
I did a little tabletop math and saw that 1,600 to 1,700 jewelry boxes means that probably for 40 years you were turning out a jewelry box almost every week for the entire time.
I could turn out four or five a day.
You could, okay.
In my younger years.
You must have taken some time off then. Oh, wow.
But I had so much other stuff besides going, you know, to make it.
Yeah.
And I had a job where I would get laid off some in the winter, so that helped me.
Okay. So you'd be making a bunch when you had more time on your hands.
When I had the time off from work.
Okay.
So that was kind of nice.
And then you're
part of it, yeah.
And then if I'm not mistaken, your wife got the itch too, maybe, I don't know, from watching you, but she's become a member of Northwoods Pioneer, and she's a wood carver in her own right, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a wood carver, which wood carvers don't sell much. And you probably don't understand it, but they don't sell much because they got too much time. And some of this other stuff she'll sell, but she belongs to this in Two Harbors here. They meet. They meet every Wednesday looking for members.
Yeah.
Like everything else. But, you know, she enjoys that quite a bit. You know, they meet every Wednesday down here in the down by the senior citizen shop in the other end.
Oh, what I call the Voyager Artist shop?
Yeah, that's where they meet.
Okay.
And
what is she working on when she's there? What is she carving there?
I think she's making a woodpecker now.
Okay.
You know, she likes animals, to do animals, and she does for the kids, you know, my daughter and stuff.
And
to sell it. You've got so much time, a lot of this, you can't.
I see. So much of this work, and your wife is B. Francine, and much of her work isn't in the gallery then?
No, what she's doing now. She's making mostly bowls.
Okay.
These wooden bowls, and she does a lot of maple leaves. She'll do a maple leaf out of wood and burn it, and it's... And the Canadians used to really buy the, you know, which is their symbol, the maple leaf. So
absolutely. I'm feeling a little like...
a lot of them.
Yeah. What I'm really thinking is it would be... We're on radio, unfortunately. I'd love for people to be able to see what your jewelry boxes and some of your wife's...
Yeah, what it's all about.
Carvings look like. But you're doing a good job, I think, setting the stage for, you know, what you and your wife have been doing there. The jewelry boxes, yeah, though, that you made, did they evolve over time? Did you get the perfect formula right away, or did you keep changing, like, the species of wood you were using? I don't know if it's inlay. Yeah, I don't know how your boxes are constructed, even. Sadly, I can't see them.
I use a lot of walnut, which is not native here at all, you know.
Right. I tried growing them at my house. That didn't work out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I use a lot of walnut. Well, my brother and I used to bring it up from Iowa for me, walnut and cherry. So I use a lot of that hardwood.
Right.
You get a lot better finish than you will on pine. You know what you're going to get all the time. Well, I don't have to. I just put a clear coat on it, so it brings out the grain really nice.
But it certainly meant that you had to source your wood from many different places and learn the best places.
I got wood I'm probably gonna not be here with one day.
No.
There's so much of it left. Everybody brings me wood, too. I don't know. I'm going to last forever, I think.
You have enough in stock for all the projects you can figure on making right now.
I think so. Okay. Yeah, but she says don't get any more.
Huh? Yeah, use some of it first, and then we'll see.
I have to have it, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, I can't get rid of it.
So
now I'd rather use it up for, let my daughter sell it at the estate sale,
so,
you know.
Yes, we wish the best for that family discussion. I won't try to get involved in the family choice there.
Oh, no.
Maybe somebody in your family really wants your wood. I don't know. But I know that it's very precious when you find good, straight, well, air-dried stock of hardwood.
You got
something special.
I don't like what you buy from a lumber yard, because like I said, it's kiln-dried, and that makes wood awful hard. But there's a lot of process. It takes me 2 or 3 years to get it ready to use. So
I have
to keep ahead all the time. See?
Yeah, you have to take the long view on everything. You have to look at that piece of wood and say, I might see you in 3 years. That's that's
which now I got plenty now for the rest of what I'm doing now. So the rest of my days, I think that is.
I did want to check in with you about what the social part of this is. I mean, you had to work in the shop when you were, most of the 40 years before you became a senior member. You'd work at your work shift as a co-op member and meet people maybe from all over the world coming in. Did you enjoy that part much? Do you have any stories about people you encountered?
My wife worked that part of it.
Okay.
She would work at the build,
Okay, you did some behind-the-scenes maintenance stuff?
Yeah, like I said, painting and doing the grass and that kind of stuff down here. I painted the old building, too, plus this new one. I painted all of that. She got involved in the operation more than I did.
Okay.
It wasn't my cup of tea in there.
Well, you had skills, right? You had things you could do that were needed. So it only makes sense to have people do what they're most comfortable at and most skilled at.
Yeah, that's what,
Yeah,
but I'm happy it's worked this long. I hope it goes along after I'm gone, so somebody else can.
Well, your current coordinator Lynn talked up very much praising all of you great members and noted that you're both eclectic and eccentric. I think she meant that as a compliment. Group of people ranging in age from 16 to 94.
There's three of us. One's 94, and Barb, and then there's me. So that's the three of us. The first three, whatever you want to call it, I guess.
Oh, so the most veteran members standing,
It was 94 at the three, I think. She
She's
still driving, and she was up for the meeting here a month ago.
So the co-op has like an annual meeting?
We have it over at the Castle Danger Church there.
I see. And are you going to be able to be part of the anniversary party on Saturday?
I belong to the Two Harbors Ukulele Bunch.
You're playing there too?
I'll be practicing Saturday morning. Maybe I can get after that.
Okay, I didn't think Thug was playing at the party. I was just wondering.
No, we weren't.
You're keeping yourself really busy then. You're a musician and a woodworker.
I know too much. You ain't got time for nothing. Exercise at the hospital and a couple days a week, and I don't know.
So I have to ask
janitor at the church and.
Roger, are there any really surprising things that happened along the way? Lynn mentioned in an email to us that one time a porcupine had walked into the shop. Do you have any unusual memories of things that happened over the years?
The only thing that strikes my mind is when they were blasting and they sent rocks right through, right through the door, and I don't know how much stuff they had to buy from me, the contractor. Which was pretty interesting.
Really? They took out
the whole
items.
Front door. Yeah, they took the whole front door. I don't know how much, you know, products they broke from people, but
my God,
they broke some of mine. So other than that, I can't think of a whole lot right offhand, you know.
So you weren't there when the porcupine came through, because that was probably the shopkeeper that day who had to deal with that.
Yeah, that was in the old days. There, probably in the old shop down there,
right
where we were before. There, right on by the cliff there.
Well,
which was a good location in the state.
And yeah, indeed it was. One of the things that I find the most interesting is that you said that the membership was very large. This must have been a very appealing idea, somebody's idea.
Yeah, when we first moved up there,
yeah,
you know, in the old shop, I think we were maybe 70, 80, but when we went up there, which was young, you know, everybody wanted to get in, but when you got that many members, you don't, you're spread too thin.
Right.
You're not going to sell that much. If everybody sells something, nobody's going to sell much. You know what I'm trying to say?
I think so, or you'd have to have an enormous outlet store and change
right.
the whole nature
yeah,
of the
right.
business.
Yeah. So it's a lot of them that had to drop out. So
I see.
You know, which we could stand more than we have now, to tell you the truth, I'm sure. But
this is, you know, we're talking to you because you've had a good time at it for 40 years, and I think it would appeal to other people. So kind of getting the word out that Northwoods Pioneer is celebrating an anniversary, but they're welcoming new members at the same time.
Yes. That would be great.
Okay. Well, Roger, it is a pleasure to talk with you. You're a gentleman, and you've been part of a really neat part of our heritage here. I think that,
it
you know.
It's been good, yeah.
Yeah.
To Port Two Harbors area. And yes, it was enjoyable talking to you.
Well, I wish you the best of luck with your music, with your musical career and your woodworking career.
Okay.
Take care, Roger. Bye now.
Okay, thank you much. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Mr. Roger Francine of Silver Creek, who is a 40-year member of Pioneer Crafts Co-op. That was their name when they started there. Now the Northwoods Pioneer Gallery and Gifts, they're on Highway 61 in Castle Danger. I think the address is 2821 Highway 61, 11 miles northeast of Two Harbors, about 7 miles northeast of the Silver Creek Tunnel. And they're having their 50th anniversary celebration this Saturday, June 18th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Everyone's invited. There is an outdoor art, craft, show, and food from Baptism River Barbecue. This is Leo Babeu for KTWH.